Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Now go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Who's that? Anybody know? That's Yeshua. Coming with the clouds of heaven. That's us. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So this is the declaration. The kingdom is being taken back. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 3 to 4. Why can't everyone see that the false Messiah is false in all that's going on? Verse 3 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, which refers to Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Messiah, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the false Messiah has great power and works miracles through the false prophet to mislead people, to deceive them, and to get them to believe things that are not true. Matthew chapter 4. And that's one of the reasons that the true believers have to be taken out before the tribulation period itself can begin. Because we would just foul everything up. We'd be going around going, hey, this is right here. Go read these verses. This is where we are. Matthew chapter 4. We often come here for verse 4 where Messiah says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But that's not why we're here. We're here for verses 8 and 9. Again, the devil, that's Satan, Hasatan, took him, that's Messiah, up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Does Messiah say they're not your kingdoms?
No,
he doesn't, because they are Satan's kingdoms until Messiah takes them back. Ephesians 2.
Can you reconcile that with Cyrus and Grass Boy? Messiah giving them their kingdoms. So, if they're really Satan's kingdoms, then how does God give them to Cyrus and to...
God raises up kings. He does. But who controls their hearts? Do they all fall before the Lord God and say, let's all the whole world follow and worship him?
Not in my experience.
That's right. They follow the other guy. Yeah, that's what it means. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. It was a good question, though. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. So he reminds the believers in the church at Ephesus that we all were sinners. We were all following after Satan and not after God, whether we realized it or whether we didn't. John chapter 12, as we're getting close to finishing this verse. John chapter 12. Verse 31. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world, and now the ruler of this world will be cast out. With his death, burial, and resurrection, Satan's fate was sealed. It just wasn't carried out until we come to Revelation. So with that, let's go back to Revelation chapter 11. Verse 16, and the 24 elders who sat before God in their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, there's another of those sayings that tells you it was what? Written in Hebrew. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come. Who is the one who is and who was and who is to come? That's Messiah Yeshua. Because it means the one who lived, was crucified, buried, and resurrected, and now lives eternally, who is also Lord God Almighty. Because you have taken your great power and reigned. Again, the prophetic perfect. He's taken it back, just waiting for it to be executed. Verse 18 says, the nations were angry, and your wrath has come. That refers back to Psalm 2. And the fact that the nations don't want the Lord to come and rule and reign over them. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged. That you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints. And those who fear your name, small and great. Small and great means young and old. That's a Jewish idiom, a Hebrew idiom in the Hebrew language. And should destroy those who destroy the earth. Talking about the false Messiah, false prophet and his followers. Verse 19, then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. Why was there an ark of the covenant on earth? Because there's one in heaven. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail. And now we're at the midpoint of the tribulation period. We are exactly 3.5 years from the end. Chapter 12. I don't think there is a veil on the one in heaven. This is talking about in heaven, not on earth.
Right. Okay. Sorry.
That's why it says in verse 19, the temple of God was opened in heaven. They want to make sure we understand that this is not the earthly temple. Before we start chapter 12, let's just look at a few verses about verse 19. Let's go first to Numbers chapter 10. There's a reason that Moses was told to make a tabernacle, to make a menorah, to make a table of showbread, to make an altar of incense, etc. Numbers chapter 10, verse 33. So they departed from the mountain of the Lord. What was the mountain of the Lord? Sinai. On a journey of 3 days, And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them for the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. Why did they take the Ark with them? What was its significance? Because the Shekinah glory of God dwelt on it. It's where the power of God was. What happened when the priest who carried it stepped into the Jordan River? It parted in two. What happened when they went out on the Lord's military journeys and took the Ark of the Covenant? Who could stand before them? No one.
Well, when they were sent, right? They went out.
Well, I said when they were sent. That's right. When they went out on their own without seeking the Lord, then things didn't go well, did it? You're absolutely right. Numbers 14. Verse 44. But it still makes me giggle. When they went out on their own, the Lord didn't send them, and the Ark of the Covenant fell into the hand of the Philistines. How well did the Philistines like it?
They had to keep picking up their big statue.
Yeah, Dagon kept falling over before. It was just hilarious. God has a sense of humor. Numbers 14:44. But they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Uh-oh. The Lord told them not to go. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. So they went into battle, contrary to God's commands. The Ark of the Covenant didn't go with them. And how well did the battle go? Not well at all. Deuteronomy 10. Hitler wanted the Ark of the Covenant. So the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark is only partially fictitious. The part where they find it, that's the fictitious part. The fact that Hitler wanted it, that's true. Because he believed that if he had the Ark of the Covenant, no army could defeat him. I would like to say he'd have quickly gotten hemorrhoids like the Philistines. But however, Deuteronomy 10 verse 8. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister to him, and to bless in his name to this day. So the Levites had the honor of carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. So that's an important aspect of the Ark of the Covenant. It's called that because it contained the covenant inside of it. Deuteronomy 31:9.
What verse was that back in Deuteronomy 10?
Verse 8.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 31, verse 9. So Moses wrote this law, the Hebrew word there is literally Torah, and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this Torah before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones. That's not short people, that's children. And the stranger was within your gates, that's the non-Jew, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this Torah. What portion of it?
All of it.
And that their children, including the children of the non-Jew, who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess. In the same chapter, Deuteronomy 31, verses 25 to 26. So it was, when Moses had completed writing the words of this Torah in a book, when they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the Torah and put it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. So he's talking about the book of Deuteronomy. It doesn't go in the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the tablets are, with the words that everybody heard with their own ears. But this is put beside it to say, don't let it ever be separated from it. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 9. Hebrews, chapter 9. Chapter 9, just verse 4, which had the golden censer. He's talking about what went in the Holy of Holies. The golden censer was taken in once a year in Yom Kippur by the high priest. And the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna. What is that? There was a pot of manna that was picked up when it was falling in the wilderness and put in the Ark of the Covenant to be a constant reminder of what God had done for the people when he brought them out of Egypt. Lest they ever think that the manna in the wilderness was just a fiction. There's a pot of it in the Ark. Aaron's rod that budded. What's the Hebrew word for rod? Matah. The word for tribe? Matah. It's how God indicated that the Levites were indeed the tribe that were supposed to minister in the temple, and the tablets of the covenant. Back to Revelation chapter 12.
Wait,
yes, sir.
Question.
Go ahead.
At any point in time, did they ever take the items out of the ark and display it to the people to say, look, here's the manna?
It never tells us whether they did or didn't.
Except they weren't allowed to touch the ark, so.
That's right.
I mean, to lift the top off, they would have had to maybe use the poles or something, it seems.
Or they would have had to have the Lord's permission to do it. It simply never tells us. So as far as I can say, we can't say it did.
Okay. Well, Raiders of the Lost Ark, they mailed.
Yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark shows us that it's a bad idea to open the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. And where did Spielberg get those special effects? From Zechariah 14. But now, go back to chapter 12, Revelation, because we're at exactly the midpoint. Exactly. 3.5 years in. Are we ready? Hang on to your seats. There was something in the news the last couple of years, oh, just all over it, about the Revelation 12 sign. It was just hooey. Just hooey. So let's see what the Revelation 12 sign is. First one, now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. So you remember, they put up star charts, and they said, well, if you draw lines, this kind of looks like a woman, and, well, there's a few stars here, but if you count the ones in the Big Dipper, well, maybe they come up to. No. The Bible tells us exactly what this is. Go to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. And remember, we're in apocalyptic literature, where great truths are revealed through images. To make them harder to understand. Genesis 37, beginning in verse 9. Remember, Jacob had a son with a coat of many colors. Nowhere in the scripture does it say he had a coat of many colors. That's from the musical Joseph in the Technicolor Raincoat, or whatever it was. Dreamcoat. Okay. All the scripture says is that it was a long tunic. Okay. Verse 9. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers. If he'd have just kept his mouth shut, he'd have been so much better off. And said, look, I dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you dream? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? So his father, Jacob, who is also a prophet, understood exactly what the image was. And what is it? It's Israel. It's Israel. Look again. Verse 9. I've dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down. Well, wait a minute. Revelation 12, there's 12 stars. Who's the 12th star? Joseph is. Joseph is. So this vision is of Israel. The sun represents Jacob. The moon represents Rachel. And the 12 stars are the 12 patriarchs. Say it again, please. Jacob is represented by the sun. Rachel by the moon. And the 12 patriarchs, that is Reuben, Levi, Simeon, Joseph, etc., are the 12 stars. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. So Revelation 12 is about Israel and what happens when the false Messiah gets indwelt by Satan. Romans 9, verses 4 to 5. We'll start in verse 3 because I don't want to start in the middle of a sentence. Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 3, so I don't start in the middle of a sentence. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Messiah for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the Torah, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Messiah came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. So in Romans chapter 9, verses 3 to 5, he's saying the Israelite nation, the Jewish nation, has a very important part to play in prophecy. And in fact, they do. Go back to Revelation 12:1. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, on her head a garland of stars. Verse 2. Then, being with child, what's that mean? Give me in English. Pregnant. She cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Verse 2 is about the birth pains. Where in the scripture are the tribulation period judgments likened to birth pains? So Matthew 24, let's go to Matthew 24, verses 4 to 8. Matthew 24, verses 4 to 8. And Yeshua answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Messiah, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. That Greek word sorrows is Odin, O-D-I-N. And it means birth pains. Birth pains. So birth pains are a way to describe the judgments that take place in the tribulation period. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 all the T's in the New Testament come together. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then start the T's. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, or peace and security could also be translated, Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. So when people say, the day of the Lord is like a thief that comes in the darkness and no one knows, they've taken it too far. They don't know and are taken unawares, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. But how does it describe the tribulation period in verse 3? As labor pains upon a pregnant woman.
Which we're seeing right now.
We're seeing it, the foretaste, the Braxton Hicks at least. Go to Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30 also uses the language of birth pains to describe these days. Jeremiah chapter 30. Verses 6 to 7. And maybe even a little farther. And we may as well start in verse 5. Because I don't like to start in the middle of a sentence. Why do I keep doing that? I don't know. Verse 5. For thus says the Lord. Who said it? The Lord said it. We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. He says that because how does the seven-year tribulation period start? With a peace treaty. He says, we've heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. So it was supposed to be a seven-year time of peace, but it's not. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor and all faces turn pale? Alas, for that day is great. What day? Day of the Lord. So that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day. What day? Day of the Lord. Says the Lord of hosts, Adonai Zavaot, end times prophecy. That I will break his yoke from your neck. Who's the his? False Messiah, acting as the agent of Satan, and will burst your bonds, no more a slave to sin. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, the end of the time of the Gentiles. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king. Who does he mean by David their king?
Yeshua,
Messiah, the son of David, whom I will raise up for them. Also in Isaiah chapter 66, go back towards Genesis. Isaiah chapter 66. Starting in verse 7. And I may go all the way through verse 17. Isaiah 66 verse 7. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Ladies, don't you wish it worked that way? Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? People look at these verses and say, that's the formation of the nation of Israel in 1948. It is not. This is a fulfillment of Revelation chapter 12, when Israel gets saved. It says, for as soon as Zion... Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.